Amen, amen. Man, so many cool things. And I think she shared a few, and there are so many more, but we love just celebrating God's prayers and what he's doing. And yeah, That's it. Perfect. Thank you, Chris. I said the hardest part about this is making sure these don't fall. And so he did it. He did a good job. And so that'll come into play in just a minute. But today we're diving into week two of our series, Under Its Control. Last week we talked about just trust, being under the control of not trusting, and how we need to work through that, and how when we don't trust, it leads us to be controlling. And today we're going to talk about fear, and how fear is a main driving force in controlling others or trying to control things. And, you know, this is one for me, I like to think that I'm not a super fearful person. Not to say that I don't have fears, but I'd like to think that I'm not, and that I tend to push past them and act out in faith. But I remember when we got the call to plant Kairos, to step into the lead pastor role and to step into the unknown and go somewhere and create something, there were many fears that surfaced. You know, just one thinking that I'm not the right one for this. I won't be good enough for this. And the fear of failing, you know, those who, you know, sent me out, those who funded us, those who prayed over us and believed in us, fear of even failing a congregation. So there's fear of failure, you know, fear of stepping into the unknown. Where do we go? Where are we going to meet? You know, is anyone going to show up? Just a lot of unknowns and fears. Again, letting people down. We had a fear of moving from my hometown, and will we have support? And so, you know, there's all these fears. So, like, God calls you to this thing, and then instantly these fears are like, no, you shouldn't do it. And you can see how fear can control us from moving to where God wants us to move. Now, I'm standing here, you're here. Of course, I push past those fears, and God has been great, and God has provided, and we're so thankful. But no, we've continued, and 5 years into this thing, almost 6 years, you know, some of those fears pop up at times. Am I failing? You know, am I letting people down? And am I doing a good job? Am I being a good steward? And one is another. Am I capable of continuing to lead Kairos as it grows and as God works and as God moves? I will say, though, that as a pastor, one of my biggest fears is that there would be something that I do or that I say that turns someone away from Jesus or turns someone away from the church. And I don't even, something as a fear as a pastor, but I think even as a Christ follower, that should be something that we should always be mindful of. Not that we should let the fear control us, but that is one for me. And so the fears are present. The fears are there. But the important thing to note is that the fears are not in control. I keep handing those fears over to God. And as I hand those things over to God, I ask him to keep guiding me, to keep leading me, and to keep empowering me to step in to do the things that he's called me to equip me for the things that he's called me to. You see, it's one thing to have fears, but it's another thing entirely to let them control us. And so we want to make sure that we're giving those fears over to God and having him empower us. I want to pray as we dive into this. God, right now, we come before you humble, thankful, grateful of who you are and what you've done, what you've helped us through, and how you've rescued us and redeemed us and shown us time and time again who you are. God, today, through your word, through your spirit, remind us of who you are and that you are ultimately in control. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Pastor Rick Warren says this, says, fear has an incredible ability to paralyze our potential and to keep us from launching out, to keep us from having faith in our lives. And so that's what fear does. It paralyzes. Let me put it more simply. Fear cripples. Fear is something that is going to cripple us. And then on the opposite side, faith empowers us. So fear cripples, faith empowers. And so this is something that, like, I want you to understand that. I want you to be able to speak that when fear shows up. And you say, no, that thing is just trying to cripple me. It's trying to keep me from what God wants for me. I'm going to act in faith and have the faith empower me to do what God wants me to do. So fear cripples us. Faith empowers us. So for you today, what fear has you under its control? What fear is keeping you from stepping into what God is calling you to do? You know, years ago, about almost 8 now, me and my wife began talking about her getting pregnant and having another child. Well, our oldest daughter, Delaney, is the oldest of 8. She's almost 17, and she's the only biological child that we had. Took my wife a little bit to get pregnant, had to go on some medicine, and then there was difficulty during the delivery, and it's a scary thing when you go through that, and there's an emergency C-section, and there's this operation, and, you know, the doctors know what they're doing, and but still, all these things begin flooding my mind. What is happening? What is going on? Is the baby all right? Is Christina all right? And so I just remember going through that, and I remember the doctors, you know, kind of just reassuring me that everything's okay, she's going to be okay, we just had to do this, things weren't progressing, but in the back of my mind, like, that was scary, you know? And so we move forward, and we want to grow our family, and we had 5 kids, and my wife just had this desire to be pregnant again and to give birth again. And, you know, you start reading and about C-sections and having another one. Will she have the same complications? Will it get worse? And so, like, she's saying this, and I'm in the background going, I don't know, because I'm fearful of what might happen. Fearful, like, if she gets pregnant and something like that happens again, will it go worse? Will something bad happen to her, to the child? And so just fear was there and trying to cripple me and hold me back from what God was trying to do. And I remember praying about it. And there were probably a few times when I told Christine, I was like, oh yeah, we'll talk about that later, you know, and kind of just trying to ignore talking about it and stuff like that. But as I took it to God, I just, you know, God began to remind me that he is not of fear and that he is not the author of fear. And that I need to have faith in what he's doing and just the desire he has for our family. And so ultimately I said, okay, let's do it. Let's get pregnant again. And so we, started seeing the doctors and all that stuff. And we knew we were going to have to get her back on the medicine that helped her get pregnant the first time. And long story short, it's a beautiful story. The week that she went to go on that medicine, we got a phone call from a friend at church saying that, a lady just showed up and she's getting ready to have a baby. She's 7 months pregnant. And do you know anyone who's looking to add a child to their family? Yeah. And so in this moment, so she calls and we meet and, you know, we're not sure what's going to happen. And we meet up with the birth mom and we're talking and she immediately falls in love with our family. And right then and there, I say, we know the gender. It's a girl. I said, let's call her Providence. So it's one of those things where, like, I had these fears of what was going to happen, but I didn't want to let them control me. And then I handed them over and I put my faith and my trust in God. And he showed me something so great that I never would have even imagined he was going to do, because I was willing to push past it and he provided. And it wasn't until I said yes and believed and trusted that God showed up and said, thank you for trusting me. Now let me show you what I have planned. It's an amazing thing, but it requires us to push past those fears. Because what fear wants to keep you where you are. Fear doesn't want you to step into the things that God has for you. Fear doesn't want you to experience these great things that God has for you. You see, our present fears are often products of our past experiences. And they keep us from a future provision and purpose that God has for us. Just like with my wife's pregnancy, fear of what might happen, based off of what almost happened, all these assumptions, I pushed past it to experience God's perfect plan. His faith and his trust reminds us of God's promises, and it helps us experience his provision. So what fears have you experienced in your life, in the past, that maybe keep you from what God has for you now and in the future. Years ago when I was working at a church, I had to go take something down, and I went and grabbed a 12-foot ladder. I may have shared this story before, but I had to grab a 12-foot ladder. Long story short, I fell off that 12-foot ladder, landed on my face, shattered my cheekbone, broke a few ribs, got a fun little helicopter ride to the hospital. I'm joking about it now. It was pretty serious. My wife was pretty upset. But it was one of those moments, right? You have an experience like this, and maybe every time you see ladders, you're like, nope. Know where that's going to lead, you know? And my pastor, jokingly, he had this like two-step ladder, and he would bring it out. He'd be like, you good? Can I have this here? And he was a funny guy. This is one of those things where a past experience could lead me to say, I'm never going to get on a ladder again. Because I know what can happen. I experienced firsthand what can happen. Thank the good Lord that I'm not dead, and so I'm not going to risk that again. But listen, man, it hurt and it sucked and all that stuff, but it didn't keep me from getting on ladders. We have a 16-foot ladder, and now, you know, after that, everyone was like, Brent, you good? Don't wear flip-flops, right? And because I was wearing flip-flops when I was on the first ladder. But I didn't have a fear of ladders. And I don't know if that's one of those things where I fell and lived, you know? It's the bearded pastor who lived. Anyway, but I don't. And it's one of those things, too, like, in my job and in what I was doing, and even what I do now, like, I'm going to have to use ladders. And what I was doing in work, at home, there's going to be a time when I have to use ladders, and I'm not just going to be fearful and let that keep me from what I need to do. And so this is what takes place. So like, when a similar circumstance shows up, or maybe you get involved in a new relationship or a certain person, and they begin to remind you, or maybe a 12-foot ladder shows up, right? And it shows itself in your life, and that fear comes back. And you want to know what it's trying to do. It's trying to take control. And if we let it, it'll cripple us. And every time we let fear control us, to keep us back from what we're meant to do, what we're purposed to do, for what God has for us, it's almost like grabbing a pair of crutches and using them when you really don't have to. And you get a fear crutch of just of failure. I'm not going to be able to do it, so I'm going to rest here and let this kind of hold me. And there's this fear crutch of, well, I'm not good enough. I'm inadequate. Maybe you messed up in the past and you weren't able to succeed. And maybe there's this fear crutch of hurt and pain and heartache, and so you don't want to experience that again. So you kind of just you stay back and you stay here and you say, no, I can't. You know, look, I really can't step into that. And you let fear take control, and you begin to put all of your faith in your fear instead of in God. And it cripples you, and it keeps you from moving where you need to move and how you need to move, and keeps you from growing. And there's fear of commitment, and there's fear of too much responsibility, and there's fear of financial loss, or there's fear of stepping into the unknown. There's fear of all these fears. In our lives, we can say, I'm gonna sit back. I'm gonna stay here because I'm safe here. I'm supported here. And fears, we say, fear's got me, right? And if I step out of that, I don't have the support, and so I'm gonna rest back. And the reality of it is this, is the longer you let fear control you, is the more you give it control, is the more crippled you become. And then you go from still kind of being able to move in certain directions and do certain things to trading up the crutches for the wheelchair. And now you're not mobile anymore. And now you're just sitting and you're comfortable and you're okay. You're like, I'm not going to move. I'm going to stay right here, and I don't want to do anything. And fear's desire is to cripple us. Fear doesn't want us moving forward. It wants to hold us back. It wants to keep us from what God has for us. It wants us to sit. It wants us to be comfortable. It wants us to be idle. It doesn't want us to move in the miraculous ways that God is calling us to move. And then the reality becomes you start getting comfortable in your fear. And you don't have to make difficult decisions anymore. And it comes into control. And the more control fear has, the less desire you and I have to move. To move for God, to move with God, to step into the unknown. Why? Because fear cripples us and faith empowers us. There's a story I want to share with you from 1 Kings. It's about the prophet Elijah. And I want to share this with you because I want you to see how easy and quickly we can go from moving in faith and empowering faith to being crippled by fear. So you can follow along on the screens. It's 1 Kings chapter 18. And Elijah said, "I am the only prophet of the Lord here, but there are 450 prophets of Baal. Bring two bulls, let the prophets of Baal choose one bull and kill it and cut it into pieces. Then let them put the meat on the wood, but they are not to set fire to it. I will prepare another bull, putting the meat on the wood, but not setting fire to it. You prophets of Baal, you pray to your God, and then I will pray to the Lord. And the God who answers by setting fire to his wood is the true God." So Elijah is facing off against 450 other men. You got one guy that is saying, "Hey, I am the only prophet, and I'm going to stand for God." And he in this moment is facing his fears and going up against 450 other men. And these 450 other prophets of Baal, they prayed to their God. And it's kind of a fun little scene there if you never read it. And Elijah's like, "Why don't you try this?" Or maybe he's on the bathroom. I don't think it said that. I said that. But he's kind of jokingly making fun of them. And they can't do it. And so then verse 30, it says, "And Elijah said to all the people, 'All right, come here.' So they gathered around him. Elijah rebuilt the altar to the Lord, which had been torn down." So, you know, they're trying to worship and do all these things, and in the midst of it, they destroyed his altar. So he rebuilt it. Verse 35, Elijah prays. "The prophet Elijah went near the altar. 'Lord, you are the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Israel,' he prayed. 'Prove that you are the God of Israel and that I am your servant. Show these people that you commanded me to do all these things. Lord, answer my prayer so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you will change their minds.' Then fire from the Lord came down, burnt the sacrifice, burnt the wood, the stones, and the ground around the altar, and it also dried up the water in the ditch." I mean, this is an extremely powerful moment where Elijah allows his faith to empower him, and God shows up in a mighty way. The odds were stacked against him, 450 to 1, but Elijah had faith and trust in the one true God. And it's cool. Awesome story. If you've never read it, go read it. There's a lot more to it. But let me tell you something. The icing on the miracle cake, that's what I'm calling it, is one sentence at the end of 1 Kings. And here's what it says in verse 46. "The Lord gave his power to Elijah, who tightened his clothes around him and ran ahead of King Ahab all the way to Jezreel." Here's what you need to know. Ahab was in a chariot, okay? And chariots, if they're racing, can go 30 to 45 miles per hour, okay? They weren't racing, so let's just say he was going 20 miles per hour. Elijah is running faster than a chariot. How cool is that, right? And so you have these amazing moments, right, where empowering faith allows him to what? To get up, to run, to show who God is, and to show what faith can do. He runs after what God is calling him to and telling him to do. And that's what empowering faith does for us. It empowers us to run after our hopes and dreams. It empowers us to go after the relationships that God is calling us to run after our relationship with God, to be more like him, and ultimately to step into what he is calling us to, the purpose and the promise and the provision that he has for us. Under faith's control, God empowers us to go. He empowers us to go. And it's not by our might. It's not by our wisdom. No, it's not us. It's obedience to say yes to a God that we believe will empower us through his Holy Spirit. So under faith's control, God empowers us to go. But under fear's control, we're crippled. You can't run with fear holding you back, weighing you down. It'll slow you down and cause you to become idle and flee from what God has for you. What's so wild about this story is I wanted to share all that. And you're like, where was fear there? There wasn't any. I mean, Elijah was going after it. And these amazing miracles take place. And then right after that, he goes into fear controlling him. 1 Kings chapter 19. King Ahab shows up finally, you know. Elijah's over there like, ha, buddy, I beat you. Anyway, okay. King Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how Elijah had killed all the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, may the gods punish me terribly if by this time tomorrow I don't kill you just as you killed those prophets. Verse 3, when Elijah heard this, he was afraid and ran for his life. And it's one of those things when you read it and you kind of go, wait, no, I must be in the wrong chapter, right? It's not the same Elijah that I just read about that faced off against 450 prophets of Baal that ran faster than a chariot. He has this Queen Jezebel, this vicious devil woman, right? It's in the different translation. threaten his life. One woman. And you see it right there in verse 3. He became afraid and he ran for his life. So faith empowered Elijah to run, right, and defeat his enemies. What did fear do? It crippled him, and it caused him to fall back from his enemies. You see, faith empowers us to move towards God, and fear cripples us from moving, or even worse, it causes us to move away from God. Now, here's the great news. Though we may, at times, fall back into fear or have fear cripple or even control us, the wonderful thing about God is he doesn't want to leave us under fear's control. And so he comes after us. And he comes to tell us and remind us of who he is. So Elijah's off hiding and he's running and he's scared and he has this vision and this dream, and in it God says, Elijah, go to this mountain. I got to come remind you of who I am. So 1 Kings, verse 11, Lord said to Elijah, go stand in front of me on the mountain and I will pass by you. And in this moment, I don't have time to share all of it, but in this moment, there are multiple different things, elements that take place, a fire, an earthquake, and a fierce wind. And then it says, after the fire, there was a quiet, gentle sound. When Elijah heard it, he covered his face with his coat and he went out and stood at the entrance to the cave. And the voice said to him, Elijah, why are you here? Why are you running? Why are you afraid? Why are you fearful? Why are you here? He answered, Lord God, all powerful, I have always served you as well as I could, but the people of Israel have broken their agreement with you. They destroyed your altars. They've killed your prophets with the sword. And he says, I am the only one left. They're trying to kill me. And you hear it in his voice. You hear the fear. I'm afraid, God. There's brokenness, despair, destruction, and death are knocking at my door. I fear for my life. I fear for your people. I fear had come and just gripped him and crippled him and controlled him. And in this moment, right after this, the Lord says to him, Elijah, I have a plan. And he goes to lay out the plan. He says, there are two kings that I'm going to raise up that are going to destroy your enemies. And then he also says, you may think you're the only prophet, but there are 7,000 other men who still follow me and serve me. And what I love in this moment is two moments. God reminds and shows Elijah that he is in control. First and foremost, he's in control of the elements, right? He's in control of all of it, but he's also in control of his enemies. And it's a powerful reminder. He says to Elijah, I'm in control. There is no reason to fear. There's no reason to run. He goes from faith to fear so quickly. And how do we do that? How do we go from faith to fear so quickly? We forget that God is in control. And we let fear take control. But the same is true of the opposite. You want to know how you can go from fear to faith? You remember. You remember by God's word, by his spirit, by his promises, by his grace, by his provision, by his son. You remember that no matter what, God is in control. He's in control. Remember that. Proverbs 29, 25 says that fear is a snare. It's a trap. It will cripple. It will disable. It will paralyze you. But the one who trusts in the Lord is protected. So I wonder, what area of your life do you need to stop being under fear's control? Maybe you're not in the wheelchair, but if you keep letting the control take place, you keep relying on fear to give you false information about what's going to happen, you get back to these crutches. And so maybe for you, it's just a fear of what others might think. If I do this, if I say this, if I stand for my faith, I'm fearful. Maybe for you, it's fear of confrontation or conflict. You got these crutches that are keeping you safe, or it's a fear of commitment. Maybe your fear is losing control. In both senses, or you just lose control and you lose it, or you no longer feel like you're in control because at the end of the day you didn't have it to begin with. Maybe you fear loss. Maybe you fear failure. Maybe you fear the thing that God has called you into and what it's going to require from you. So you want to stay safe, and you want to stay supported, and you want to stay back, and you want to stay comfortable. Regardless of the fear that you and I face, man, we got to remember that when we trust God and we give him control, guess what? Fear loses its control. We say to God, I have these fears. And God will validate your fears, and he'll say, okay, I see you. And I see that you're fearful, but do you remember who I am? Do you remember what I've done? Think back to all he's done. In the little moments, in the big moments, how he's protected, how he's provided. We gotta remember who he is. You know, I remind myself often of Psalm 118, and it says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. It's such a simple verse, but it carries so much weight. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. You took a pay cut, lost your job, Lord is on your side, I will not fear. Mortgage, rent, insurance went up, Lord is on your side. There's no need to fear. Unexpected health problems, Lord is on your side. You don't need to fear. Dealing with behavior issues with your kids, whether they're toddlers, teens, or young adults, the Lord is on your side. You don't need to fear. Marriage issues, the Lord is on your side. You don't need to fear. You have to confront an issue in a relationship, the Lord is on your side. You don't need to fear. If you need to admit and share an addiction that you are struggling with and fear keeps holding you back and holding you in it, the Lord is on your side and you don't need to fear. So what is it? What unbreakable problem or unsolvable barrier or unforgiving action or uncharted territory or a circumstance that's unforeseen is holding you back? What you need to say to it is the Lord's word and remind yourself who the Lord is. He is with you and you do not need to fear. And you let it go. I don't need to worry about it. I'm gonna put that in God's hands. It is so freeing when you get out of fear's control. You say, what was I thinking? That thing was controlling me for so long and I missed out on so many great things that God, no more. I refuse to let fear control me, and I am choosing to let faith empower me to do what God has for me. And its purpose, and its promise, and its provision. I ask that you guys would bow your heads. As we enter into a time of prayer, and let me just say this to you. We sang earlier about who God is and what he's done, and that who he is and what he's done, he's still doing today. And here's what I believe, that breaking free from the bondage of fear is a miracle. And it's a miracle that God wants to do in your life. And it won't just be a miracle that affects you, but all those around you. God wants you to release from that crippling, controlling disability of fear today. Whatever it is, however fear manifests itself in your life, whatever it's holding you back from, do you want to be free from it today? I pray that the Spirit has helped you recognize it. But it's one thing to recognize our fear. It's another thing to remind our fear that God is in control and that God is on our side. And as we do that, we recognize, we remember that God's in control, and then we release it. We release fear's grip on our life. But here's the truth. Breaking free from fear requires us to move. There's got to be action. We got to push through it. And so here, what I want to do today, because I believe in acting and moving when God calls us to it, that will allow us to leave behind or let go of whatever it is that's controlling us today. If you say, I want to break free from the fear that has been controlling me and holding me back, I would say to you right now, get up from your seat. Come forward. Let me pray for you. Come forward and release your fear over to God. You're never going to be able to move past it if you're not willing to just move. Because again, remember, fear wants to cripple us. Fear wants to hold us back. Fear wants to tell us that we can't, that we shouldn't, that other people will look, that other people make fun of. It's not about you. Fear is going to tell you all these lies that God's word comes in and says, don't let that thing hold you back from what I have for you. I see you, and you are my wonderful creation, and I am on your side, and I will empower you. Step out and break free from fear. Come and release it and drop it and walk out of here just like the crutches and be, I'm not taking those with me anymore. The only support that I need is the support that I get from God the Father and his Holy Spirit. Do you want to break free? You got to get up. You got to move. And you got to move specifically in God's direction. Come forward today. Come forward right now. Let me pray over you. Take some time to pray. I want to take some time. The band's going to play, but I want to step down and I want to pray over anyone who wants to come forward, that there would be a release, that there would be freedom, that we would no longer be under fear's control and be crippled, but we would be empowered by faith and what God wants to do and who he is and what he has for us. God, right now, I just pray over each individual here, God. Each of these fears maybe happened from a past circumstance or something that they've dealt with for too long, God, and it's been hard. God, they don't want to be under its control anymore. They see it and they recognize it, but it's been too hard to break free from. They've tried in their own might, and they've tried in their own power, and they tried in their own ways, and what they needed to realize is that they didn't have to overcome their own fear, God. They just had to give it to you. And let them do that today. Let them be free from the fear today. Be released from the fear today. Remind them of the goodness of your greatness, of your graciousness, of your promise. Remind them of who you are and all that you've done, and that you're still with them every step of the way. They don't have to fear. They don't have to live in fear anymore. God, may there be a release here. Let us walk out of this place feeling empowered. Let us not walk, let us run. Run to your purposes, run to your promises, run to your provision, because today, right now, we are declaring, I will not be controlled by fear. I will be empowered by faith because the Lord is on my side. Thank you, God, today for the freedom, for the miracle of breaking us free from the bondage of fear in our lives. May you work and move mightily in our lives and for your glory. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give it up for God today.